Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I don't know about you, but I kept watching that video and thinking, I wonder who's going to be the one to take off all those post-it notes off the wall. I bet you it's going to be Mom. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the incredible women in our lives, whether you are a mom by birth, a mom by choice, a mom by mentorship, or simply by just being a woman who shows and gives their loving presence. Thank you so much for serving us, for teaching us, and most importantly, for praying for us. I bet you a lot of people in this room would say that they have a relationship with Jesus because of their mom's prayers, yes? So thank you, and happy Mother's Day. There was an unknown author who said this, that in every unseen act of love, a mother mirrors hands of Christ washing feet. And isn't that the truth, right? And I'm not sure that there's a better time to focus on our mission as believers and talking about service, as we will in just a few minutes, than on Mother's Day, because who serves more than moms, right? And since it's Mother's Day, I am going to lovingly pick on us women for a moment, because I am one, so it's okay, right? There's a saying that says, a man builds a house, but a woman makes a home, right? And let's be honest, many of us excel in making it a home department, right? Leave me in Hobby Lobby for 10 minutes and I will absolutely find several things to make our house more like a home, right? I'm definitely coming home with something. So let me give you a few examples here. Is there anyone in the room, women, I'm talking to you here for a second, who have a little bit of a lot of throw pillows, a little bit of an obsession with throw pillows in your house? Raise your hand. Beds, couches, all right. So here's my question for the men. Do your women have an obsession with throw pillows? Raise your hand. There's a lot more hands up than there were before, right? Brian, my husband, he once calculated how long it took him to put the pillows on and off the bed when he made the bed in the morning. And of course, he came up with a mathematical equation to figure out how much time this actually took. So he figured it takes him about 20 seconds to put it on in the morning, and then 20 seconds to take it off. So that's 40 seconds a day of decorative pillows on and off the bed. And he did the math, because of course he did, and here's what he found out. He spends 4 hours a year putting on and taking off pillows off of our bed. And then in our 23 years of marriage, he has spent about 90 hours putting on and taking off pillows. That's about a half a week, right? He says it's pointless. I say it makes the bed a little more cozy. And I'm not even going to mention the throw pillows at Christmas, on the bed, in the guest room. I mean, they're everywhere in our house, right? When we first got married, there was a time in our marriage where I had decorative towels. Anybody decorative towel family? You just have towels. You're not allowed to touch them, right? You're not allowed, right? This is purely for aesthetic purposes, and my kids and my husband, they'd be like, why can't we use them? Is the purpose not to dry our hands? And I say, no, I have repurposed them to do something different just to impress our guests, right? And these are silly examples, but the point is to something true, right, about the heart of a woman. We have God-given abilities to create, to nurture, and to elevate our spaces and our people, right? And to turn ordinary moments into meaningful ones. And the truth is, one of the most important parts of my vision as a mom is to serve my family well. And today, we're going to look at someone who did exactly that. Jesus. At the Last Supper, he didn't decorate the room, but he did do something that was more powerful and absolutely shocking. He took off his robe. He picked up a towel, most likely not a decorative one, and he redefined what it meant to lead, to love, and to serve, right? And you really can't understand the heart of Jesus. You can't really understand Jesus and what that means to be like Jesus without first understanding what it means to have a servant heart. So go ahead and stand with me as we read in God's word. We're going to start in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to skip and read to 12 through 17. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bible with me. Go ahead and read along. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. I'm going to skip to verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." This is the word of God. You may go ahead and take a seat. What a powerful and intimate moment we just read. And before we unpack the towels that Jesus put on, let's pause for a minute and let's remember where we've been the last few weeks as we looked at this series of everyday faith. We started with the prayer every day. And Pastor Kevin reminded us that prayer is communication with God. It's the foundation of our relationship with him. And how important it is not to just have boring prayers or prayers only when we're desperate and in need, but to have prayer that a life that is a daily rhythm of prayer, right? In constant communication with God, seeking his will and listening to his voice. And then last week, we talked about the importance of having scripture every day, because we can't follow God if we don't know his word, right? And we've been learning that daily scripture, it doesn't have to be hours long, but it does have to be consistent every day. It does have to be consistent. Reading, meditating, applying God's words, all those things strengthen our faith and direct our steps. And this week, we're adding to a tool in our toolbox, our spiritual toolbox, and that is service every day. So if prayer connects us vertically with God and scripture feeds us spiritually, then service puts our faith into action horizontally, right? It blesses others. And it's where the inward transformation we're experiencing begins to show outwardly. Since serving every day isn't about adding another burden to our schedule, it's not about another thing to do, but it's about waking up with this mindset, Lord, who do you want me to serve today? Who can I serve today? Because serving is really a matter of the heart way before it's a matter of the hands. And Jesus, fully aware of his time had come, he knew that the suffering was just around the corner, knowing that one would betray him, another would deny him, and the rest would scatter. And he still chose to kneel, to serve, and to love. And this is the last thing that Jesus does for his disciples before heading to the cross. This is what he chose to do: to take off his robe, something that signified position and honor, and instead, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and in doing so, he showed what true service looks like. And that towel, it wasn't just a piece of cloth, it became this symbol, right? A symbol of who he is and how he calls us to live a life of service, to be his hands and his feet, blessing others. So we're going to walk through this, what Jesus really did put on that night. The first thing he put on when he wrapped this towel around him was the towel of humility. And I'm going to put it over here, and I promise, I tried a million different places to put this so that everyone can see it, but you just can't. Sorry, on this side. This towel of humility. See, Jesus, the Son of God, fully aware of his divine authority, chose to perform a task of the lowliest servant. He stooped down to wash the disciples' feet, an act that the Jewish culture really just reserved for the lowest of household servants. Now, is there anybody in the room, I wonder, who hates feet? I know this is a weird thing for some people. Anybody hate feet? It's okay, you can admit it. We won't think differently of you. Raise your hand if you hate feet. Thank you for being honest. There, I knew somebody back in Pennsylvania, and they hated feet. They hated summer sandals because they could see everyone's feet. It was a major thing for them, right? And during this time, during Jesus' time, people wore sandals all the time, right? The feet were filthy, they were dusty, they were cracked, they were calloused. Roads were filled with animal manure. Not a good combination, very unsanitary. But foot washing was actually a sign of hospitality for the Jewish culture. A servant would basically come, as the guests came into their home, they would wash the guests' feet upon arrival, and it wasn't a glamorous act, right? It was expected, it was routine, and it was humble. Well, why did it matter? Because meals were not served at this time on high tables and chairs the way they are now. You come to my house for dinner, and you're not going to be sitting on the floor. My table is up off the floor. My chairs are up off the floor. So it was a very different situation. But during this time, guests actually sat and reclined on the floor. They would lean on one arm, and they would eat with the other. So if you can imagine this scene, something similar to what you see on the screen, what do you think is right next to the person beside you? Right as you're eating, someone's nasty feet. Dirty feet would be so close to someone's face and food, so washing feet was hygienic. It was respectful. It was expected. And Jesus, in this case, became both the host and the servant. I can just imagine what this looked like, right? The disciples are all looking around, and they all know someone's got to do it, right? It's kind of like at dinner, and my girls were younger, and they were both home, and we would be done with dinner, and we all knew the dishes needed to be done. And they would look at each other. Are you doing it? I'm not doing it. Are you doing it? I'm not doing it. And I don't know about your house. We settled a lot of fights at my house with rock, paper, scissor. Right? Whoever won got to choose. And they always chose not to do the dishes. And this was the case. I can imagine the disciples going, who's going to do it? And Jesus, the Son of God, was the only one who said, no, 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 I'm going to do this. He's the one who stood up and was both host and servant at the Last Supper. He led by example, and his authority did not exempt him from service. No one was beneath him. Jesus, both servant and host, he consistently elevated those who others called the least of these. I mean, this is what you see over and over and over again in the Gospels. Those who others called the least of these, Jesus elevated and gave them worth. And he demonstrated that greatness in the kingdom of God, and he marked it by service, not status. And he still does that today, doesn't he? And in this moment, he chose to serve Peter, who would deny him. He chose to serve the disciples that would scatter once he was arrested. And he chose, and this is the one that gets me. This is the one that convicts me. To wash the feet of Judas that we just read had already betrayed him. And so, he not just put on a towel of humility, but he also put on this towel of love. Jesus demonstrated a love that the disciples really had never experienced before. See, the word love in the Gospels, or in the Bible, I should say, not just in the Gospels, there's a lot of different words for love. You know, in English, we say love. I could say I love coffee, or we love Michigan football, but I hope that that's not the same kind of love that my husband has for Michigan football as he does for me, right? But we use the same word. But in the Bible, there are several different words for love. There's phileia love, which is like a brotherly love, right? A close friendship. That's phileia love. There's storge love, which is family love, or a parent and a child kind of a love. There's eros, which is like a romantic, passionate love between a man and a woman. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus was showing here. He was showing agape love. It was selfless, it was sacrificial, and it was unconditional. And it is identified by action. And the disciples, they had never seen this kind of love. It was the highest form of love. It was a choice, not just a feeling. Jesus embodied agape love. He served others with humility. He chose to love the disciples despite rejection and betrayal, and he demonstrated a love the disciples had never encountered before. And then, of course, he put on this towel of obedience. Jesus' act of foot washing was also one of obedience to the Father's will and his mission on earth, that he would come and serve others and lead by example, and then he would obey his Father and eventually die on the cross for us. Right? His whole mission in life modeled service. Healing the sick, feeding the hungry, raising the dead, washing feet pointed to the ultimate service he would soon offer, which was dying on the cross. And just as he lowered himself to wash their feet, he would soon lower himself to suffer and to die. Obedience. Philippians 2:8 says this, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming," say it with me, "obedient to death, even death on the cross." See, Jesus didn't serve for recognition, he served in obedience. Even when faced with betrayal and death, his commitment did not waver His obedience is not just to be admired, it's to be imitated, that we would obey him the way he obeyed his Father. And again, he showed us by example. We are called to serve with the same posture of humility, of selflessness, of love, and of obedience. Jesus washing his disciples' feet wasn't suggesting that they were equal. He says it in the scripture, you see me as Lord, you see me as teacher, and that is correct. But instead, he was demonstrating what godly leadership looks like. Jesus defines greatness in terms of service, not power. Pastor Kevin sent me this from John Maxwell, and it says this: if I see you as hurting, I'll help you. And if I see you broken, I'll fix you. But if I see you as valuable, I'll serve you. The first two seem more about me, and the last one seems to be more about Jesus. So if Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, chose to kneel, chose to serve, to take up a towel and serve, then we must ask ourselves, who are we called to serve? And the truth is, it begins in the home, it grows in the church, and then it stretches out into the world. So the first place that God calls us to serve is in our own homes. Listen, when relationships begin to suffer, it's usually linked to selflessness. We have forgotten what our first assignment is, to serve one another. And when the serving stops, selfishness takes over. And when we choose to serve intentionally, humbly, sacrificially, with love, with obedience, healing begins. Hearts soften, conflicts settle, and love becomes real again. Husbands and wives, listen. If I can just talk to you for a second here. When a husband stops serving, or when a wife stops serving her husband, distance grows. But when service is present, love grows deeper. As a matter of fact, foot washing has become popular amongst Christian weddings in these last few years. Couples are committing on their wedding day to serve one another during their ceremony, and they're committing for this for the rest of their life, but they're showing this and washing each other's feet as part of the ceremony. Now, Brian and I did not do this at our wedding, but I don't know anyone who serves more beautifully than my husband. In nearly 23 years, and I don't know how that can be since I'm only 23 years old, right? I don't know anyone who serves more than him, or serves better than him, I should say. And here's why. I have woken up to a perfectly brewed cup of coffee, and not just a cup of coffee, but homemade froth milk with homemade vanilla syrup that I didn't make, he makes, every morning. Every single morning, not just at the table in the kitchen, but I literally open my eyes and turn my head, and there is my cup of coffee for the last 23 years, every single day. I think he deserves a round of applause. Now, he will tell you it's not just a service to me, but it's public service to all of you, since I am in need of caffeine in the morning, right? But this service, it's quiet, it's consistent, and it's meaningful, because he knows what my love language is, and that's acts of service, and apparently it's coffee, and he knows exactly how to make my day every morning. Wives, serve your husbands, not just in a way that's easiest and most natural for you, but in a way that makes them feel most loved and most cared for. I recently spoke to a young bride, and she was telling me, I don't do my husband's laundry. I'm not his mother. And it broke my heart. Because marriage isn't about drawing lines, it's about showing love everyday acts of care. My husband Austin says this. He says, if I spend my life serving you 100% and you spend your life serving me 100%, then we both get what we want. And he's right. That's what teamwork looks like. Children, serving your parents isn't just about obeying rules. It's about honor. It's about showing love, pitching in, being a part of a team, being respectful, showing gratitude. And parents, your children, they're watching you. So the way you serve your family, that's teaching them how to love and serve others. Adult children, serving is caring for your aging parents when the roles suddenly are turned. A true servant doesn't just serve out of obligation. They learn how to love the people around them in the way that they feel the most valued. So not sure how you're doing? If I'm going to be honest with you, as I was writing this message, I had to ask Brian, am I serving you well? And if I'm not, how can I serve you better? Ask your family, am I serving you well? And if not, how can I serve you better? Because a servant not only serves, but knows how the one they love is best served. And listen, if you don't have a spouse or children in your life right now, that's okay. Serving others is much more of a heart posture and not a relationship status. Jesus certainly didn't wait until he was married and have kids to serve. And maybe it's noticing that a friend who's overwhelmed and you just need to drop off a meal that day because that would help their family. Or maybe it's offering to help a neighbor with yard work or texting someone to just let them know that they're not alone. Service can be as simple as showing up, listening without distraction, giving someone your full attention. The real question is, who around me needs to be loved in a way that they can feel, and am I willing to show up? Check out this video.
How do kids behave when no grown-ups are around? Danette Mabes of South Brunswick, New Jersey says, you never really know.
Because you're not watching him at that moment and at that time.
She had always just assumed her son was good.
Right.
Until recently, when 13-year-old Gavin Mabes got caught on tape, showing his true character. Gavin and some middle school friends had just arrived at a skate park. The park was empty, except for little Carter Brunel, who was here with his mother celebrating his 5th birthday. Carter is autistic. Big groups of older kids can make him nervous, so his mom, Kristen, was fully prepared to get him out of there. She just wasn't prepared for what happened next.
I don't know, they really just shocked me. It was unlike any experience I think I've ever had.
You know how middle school kids sometimes operate like they're in a pack? Well, that's pretty much what happened here. Gavin led the way and the others followed. The only surprise was that Gavin didn't start trouble. He started a friendship.
This kid's already better than me.
Gavin's just going around with him and making him feel special. And the rest of his friends kind of followed suit and then started singing happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday!
That really blew me away.
Oh.
Because you just want to see the kindness in the world. And I wanted Carter to have a good birthday.
It was such a great birthday.
Yeah.
And such a kind deed. Even the local police department responded.
And we're going to throw you guys a pizza party next week over at school.
But here's the best part. Since their first meeting, Gavin and the middle schoolers have continued to go out of their way to play with Carter.
How you doing?
He was just so happy and he made us all happy.
So fun to be around.
Yeah. He's rad.
Yeah. And as for the moms,
you're awesome.
For them, this was a moment of parenting utopia, where the only thing better than seeing your kid treated kindly is knowing that your kid is treating others kindly, even when you're not watching.
That was so cool.
I was just so proud of him.
You want a race?
He's good.
You did it right.
Thank you.
The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. Billy Graham said that. So we serve in our homes and our families, and then we're also called to serve our church. The needs are great. Our mission is clear. We are a church transformed by God to bring hope to others through Christ. And I see lives being transformed here at church every week. Praise Jesus. It's beautiful. But that's only half the mission, right? That's only half the mission. Now we have to bring hope to others. And listen, our pastors, our leaders here at the church, they're serving faithfully, and they can't do it alone. We need you. We need your hands. We need your time. We need your abilities. We need your heart. There are so many great ministries going on here at the Church of the Nazarene. There's Hope Distributed, children's ministry, youth ministry, worship, outreach, Celebrate Recovery. Listen, the list goes on and on and on. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We all want an incredible VBS. We all want a strong kids ministry. We want powerful worship. We want the lyrics on the screen, and we want to be able to offer live stream. All those things we want our church to provide, but we need to serve together in order for that to happen, right? That means changing diapers, wiping tables, playing games, telling Bible stories to children, right? It's letting them know that Jesus loved them just by your presence back in children's ministry. It means showing up for youth, leading small groups, being a steady, safe adult that can listen to a teen. It's saying yes to Celebrate Recovery or outreach, serving meals, or simply just sitting with someone in their pain. It's packing boxes at Hope Distributed and praying for those who are barely holding on. It's hospitality, holding the door for someone as they walk in, pouring coffee. It's preparing communion. It doesn't just show up. There's a team of people who lay the communion and prepare it, the bread, the juice, so that others can encounter Jesus with reverence, right? It's even stocking bathrooms. Listen, there's nothing that seems more like a miracle than when you need some toilet paper, it's there. Those jobs are important. They don't seem it, but they are. And if we don't work together, it doesn't happen. I'm not saying do everything, but if Jesus changed your life, then love should overflow and look like his in service. This isn't about guilt. It's about awareness, right? Everything we love about this church is because someone picked up a towel and served. Will you? Jesus didn't stay within the synagogue walls. He walked into homes, villages, streets, and if we want to show the world Jesus, we have to step outside of these doors, right? So what does that look like for you? Maybe it's volunteering at your school, or joining a community board, or coaching a sports team, or helping at a shelter, or supporting a young person at their games or at their performances. Let the light of Christ in the everyday places that people live and where they work. Just let your light shine by serving in those areas. It might seem small, but I promise it amounts to something much greater than you'll ever see. Let them see Jesus in you. Listen, too often we're ready to throw in the towel when life gets too hard, but Jesus shows us a different way. He says, put the towel on. Don't throw in the towel, put it on. Craig Rochelle, a pastor, says this: you can make excuses or you can make a difference, but you can't make both. Feeling frustrated with your marriage or your family? Don't throw in the towel. Put the towel on. Disappointed by what's happening maybe in the ministries in your church? Instead of walking away, put the towel on. Roll up your sleeves. Be a part of what makes it better. And the same goes for your community. You can throw in the towel and be a part of the problem, or you can put on the towel and be a part of the solution. And when you do, I promise God will bless your efforts and he will give you much newer perspective. And here's the truth. As a pastor, I've been to a lot of funerals, and not once has anyone said they had a lot of nice stuff. Yep, they might mention some of their accomplishments, but what truly lasts, what you really hear, is how that person loved Christ and loved and served others. The happiest people aren't rich. They aren't the most accomplished. They're the ones who serve with love and with humility. Because life isn't about what you achieve, but the lives that you impact. That's what people remember. Listen, decorative towels, they look nice, but they have no real purpose. They just hang there. And as we're living out our faith, we can't just keep ourselves on display, not to be touched, never to be serving. Sure, you have some self-preservation. It might keep us spotless, but it also keeps us useless. And real servants of Jesus are willing to get dirty and to show up daily, no matter the cost. As we close, I invite you to come forward. There are towels that are located all around the room. And listen, if you weren't here or you didn't have a chance to grab a Bible or a journal, they're still available on the table. But we also have towels that we would love for you to take, one per household if you could, so that we have enough for everyone. And these towels, they aren't just symbols, they're a reminder of our calling to serve. So after you receive a towel, I'm going to invite you to gather with your family or maybe with a friend. Or if you're here by yourself, you can go ahead and there are pastors who are going to be around the room that are willing to pray with you. Or perhaps you even just want to sit at your seat and pray on your own. But in your group or quietly at your seat, however you feel most comfortable, I want you to take a moment and ask God to help you serve your family, your church, and your community. And let this towel be just a quiet and powerful reminder of the commitment that you're making. Not one rooted in pressure, but one that's rooted in love. Listen, this towel is not a decoration, it's deployment. Don't let it just sit there and collect dust. And after you've prayed and before you leave today, I want you to take a moment. There's a QR code on the screen, and there's also a card located either in front of the towel or underneath the towel. You could do it by paper, or you could do it digitally. There are different ways that you can commit to serving at the church. There's a list. Now listen, you're not committing for your life. You're not saying, I'm going to do this until the day I die. You're saying, I'm committing to learning more information about this specific ministry. So just take a second, fill that out, pray about it with your family, and then there'll be folks at the door later on at the end of service that will collect it from you. But let's act in service today. Come, take a towel, pray, and let's begin to make a lasting impact on our families, on our church, and our community. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you always show us by example how to serve, how to love, and how to elevate others that others would call the least of these. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage, the discernment to know who needs to be served in our daily life. And Lord, would we be willing to show up and be your hands and feet? In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.